Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. We had a little technical difficulty with our computer. It wants to reconfigure itself this morning. So we're doing this on the telephone. So please, please bear with me. We are really grateful we didn't get a chance to start with our music inspiration this morning, but I do want to start with the prayer and declaration. That's establishing our position of worship with God, understanding our position in His presence and what He is planning for us now. Excuse me. We are coming into sync right now with the plan of heaven for our lives upon the earth. We are going to walk in such a realm of the Spirit that we will give strength. We will gain strength. We are going to increase and be fruitful because we will operate by the Spirit of wisdom. We will build as wise builders, not with wood, hay, or stubble. We are going to build with silver and gold. The Holy Spirit is going to search out the deep things of God and reveal them to us. Then He is going to give us wisdom to implement and see the fulfillment of these things. We thank God that we are a people who are being led and instructed to live wisely and wittily by the Holy Spirit. Our steps are ordered by the Spirit. Our lives will confound the wise. This year is going to be the greatest year that we've seen for building the kingdom. And we will be amazed at what God is going to do. Lord, because we have embraced the spirit of wisdom, You are going to promote us. You're going to put that ornament of grace on our heads right now. And we thank You for the crowning of glory. We thank You, Lord, that we're going to have long life, because we're going to know a sense of rest in the Spirit that we have never known before. We are not going to do it by our strength or our ability, but by the river of wisdom. Lord, thank You that right now You are releasing an ability to teach like never before. Thank You that You have given us patterns to build. Now, the spirit of wisdom is going to see the fulfillment of those patterns. Some of those things for which we have waited 10 and 20 years, this year, it is going to be a 30, 60, and 100-fold increase of them. And we thank You in the mighty matchless name of Jesus Christ. So we just rejoice in the decree, the prayer, and the declaration, for we know those things that we have asked, He is faithful, and He is just, and He will bring it to pass. He said He said it, and because He said it, He will do it. We know that He will fulfill all of the promises to us. Everything He has promised, all the things that He has said, we rejoice in seeing them manifested to us through the power of the Spirit. And so we're at a place now where we see the great plan of God. We see the wisdom that He has released, Holy Spirit of wisdom, that He has released in and over our life. And we thank Him for that. We worship Him, and we acknowledge the power of it. And so as we are looking at the spirit of wisdom in our declaration and prayer, we're releasing some truth that he has revealed to us, truth regarding the flow of the river of wisdom that will come from the person of Holy Spirit. One of his sevenfold functions, anointings, expressions that will fill the earth through us as we allow the Lord to uncap that river of wisdom in our life. And so as we have seen in chapter 9 when we looked at the first part of the spirit of wisdom, and in our declaration, we see the definition of this wisdom. We see the function of the spirit of wisdom, the benefits of the spirit of wisdom, and the fact that this spirit is transferable, that we can release it. It says, by one spirit, we have access to the Father. So when you connect with the spirit of wisdom or the river of wisdom, you are truly plugging into a greater level of the wisest person on earth. You are going to flow with the person who knows everything that is going on in heaven and has access to the, we have access, and the Holy Spirit has access to the one who has our blueprint. Hallelujah. That we looked at. That's that blueprint that came from that knowing us before we were even created, knowing and giving to us purpose and destiny along with the life that he was breathing in us. And as we receive the Holy Spirit and we receive the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as Apostle so eloquently shared with us on last Saturday, what that blood does for us, and just understanding the power of that move of God, of that grace that is placed upon us, and that glory, that grace is placed in us because it enables us to do what God would have us to do, and then that glory that is upon us, crowning us with his glory, with his reputation, putting it over us because we have embraced the spirit of the Lord. That was one of the first flows and functions of Holy Spirit, the spirit of the Lord. And because it is in us and over us, we are now able to move into truly the supernatural, living above the earthly limitations. And we're going to see how the spirit of wisdom does that. And as the author does in the spirit part two, he starts to present to us the scriptural foundation and basis of what our hope and our faith should be in. And so he starts off with the wisdom to make the priestly garments. And when I look at that, to make the priestly garments, that means wisdom to create a new thing that's never been seen before. And it is the framework of our service and our worship. Because when we look at the priestly garment and really the whole whole book of Exodus and the definition and the presentation and the instructions and all of the details and all of the rich blueprint release that the Lord gave Moses to give to the people in order to build the tabernacle. And the first thing that we see here is he's dealing with first the people that will serve him. So he goes to the priest and the priest's garment. So the first thing he lets the people know is you can't serve me in what you had on before. You can't do it. They wore black garments. Those garments were not representative of the holiness and the purity of God. And so there is a richness of God that's pure in even the metals of God and the colors that God has created. And so those colors, he lets us know, they have a symbolic meaning to him, and they represented him. Because if you look through the instructions for the tabernacle, everything is that scarlet. It is that purple. It is the gold, and it is the blue. All of these things were a part of the symbolic representation that God wanted on earth through the children of Israel. And so he started with the garments. Now, these garments weren't for everybody. These garments were just for that tribe that had found them a place in God's heart. Because when all of the people first came out of Egypt, and Moses was on the mountain, well, they, you know, we know the story. They built the golden calf, and they were dancing around and whatever. And so when Moses came back down, it became a place of you had to choose. And he said those people who had done that, they were like hiding each other. You know, nobody wanted to tell on nobody. And they got to go. They got to go. And the tribe of Levi stood with Moses, and they agreed with what Moses said. Everybody else was grumbling. They were complaining, well, you was up there, and you this, and you that, and you other. They gave all kinds of excuses to turn away from the God of their deliverance. But the tribe of Levi, they did not. And so because of that, they had a special honor placed upon them. That tribe would be the tribe that would be the priest to prepare and to stand before the Lord on behalf of the people. And so, and as a result of that, their garments had to be changed. Their garments and what was the way they were to go before the Lord was first to be changed in outwardly, what you could see, you know, which is really such a powerful indication of the fact that what's on the inside should transform with the way you look. And because they had that pure heart for God, God wanted to also present to everybody that would see them and know their service and what they were doing, that they're going to look different from everybody else. And they did. And they even got a different inheritance. And some may feel like, well, they didn't get land. The tribe of Levi did not receive any land in the promised land. So every other tribe, it was given to them. But their reward was to work in the temple, in the tabernacle of God. And actually, everybody else was to bring their offering to sustain that tribe. And so we see the plan and the blueprint. It'll start unfolding of just how God expects this thing to go, just how God expects what he expects our service to look like. And sometimes we don't understand that. We feel like, well, you know, I should have it all. Why should I not have this, that? And a lot of people have a hard time turning from a regular occupation and just going into full-time ministry. But, and I'm not saying that that's what everybody needs to do, but just showing that God's blueprint allows for that to happen so that the one that is serving him can serve him 100% and not worry about the natural things in life. Just as the birds don't worry about how they're going to eat and the flowers, you know, what they're going to look like, they leave it all up to God, and God handles it. And so it's really a indication of what our mindset, the precept of what our mindset should be when we come into the service of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that it needs to look like not having a job. No, but it needs to look like your understanding of your provision comes from God, not a job. And so that job won't have any strings for you to make you, you know, act like a puppet. It won't control you. It won't have that value. Your value is in the silver and gold, those treasures that come from God. So he definitely started with the outer garment of the Levites, the priests, the ones that were to be priests. And then they wore this anytime they came in his presence. So we understand that it's Old Testament, and everybody couldn't come into the presence of God, not even all of the Levites. But they had a work a task in the tabernacle that they were going to build. They didn't understand it. It had never happened before. And just like their garments had never looked like that. And if you ever see a picture of the garments, and I always was amazed at how there are certain people so skilled in reading this blueprint for their garments and then creating it. It's just amazing, because when you hear all the details, it's hard to picture something you've never seen before. But once you see it, you see how it was perfectly, every centimeter of it had a set of instructions concerning it. And it is just amazing. It is marvelous. It is so ornate. It is so grand. And it is the perfect thing to represent God. And if not, pure white. You know, they said it was black and that it wasn't emblematic of the holiness and purity of God. But we have such a limited understanding. But purity comes in, if you think about the primary colors, they're pure. Purity comes in gold. It is pure. And in the silver, it is pure. And so purity have different looks, if you will, okay? And even in as it relates to nature and the things that are produced, there is a purity in a thing. You know, there's a purity and a holiness even within the animal that would have to come as a sacrifice. It had to be a lamb without spot or blemish that made it pure. There were no pollutions deformity as it related to it. It didn't have spots. It was pure. And so we have to understand the meaning of words that are used in Scripture according to the way they were intended to be representative in the Scripture in that time frame. And not so much with our own mindset. And actually, our mind has a dictionary. And the words we hear go through our dictionary. And oftentimes, it is not what it should be.
Yes? That point by thing.
Say again?
I'm sorry, overseer, that I'm not muted. I am so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Well, welcome and good morning. Good morning. I recognize that beautiful voice.
I'm sorry. It's been a while. I had to find you, and then I'm doing so. I am. Please forgive me, everybody. I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
I wasn't muted.
Not a problem. Not a problem, not a problem. This is the Fellowship of Learners. You know, we're all learning, okay? And I have done that same thing. It is so easy to do. But we just thank God that you're here with us this morning, and we hear your voice. That is blessing.
I am so glad to be here. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Glory to God. So what we're seeing here is how this spirit of wisdom, the person of the Holy Spirit, a function of the Holy Spirit, is going to bring to us some information that only heaven has. It brings to us blueprints, the blueprint of the garment that came to Moses through the person of the Holy Spirit. And I think it is so marvelous when you understand that it says the spirit of wisdom is a series of actions. It's not an analytical ability to do something, but it is a series of actions that are motivated, inspired, and fueled by heaven, by the power of divine intervention. And so these God wants to give us this spirit of wisdom so that we're able to do a thing that he's called us to do the way he needs it done, the way he requires, not even needs, he requires it to be done. He loves to call us to do impossible things because for us, that's the only way in a lot of instances that we will let go of it and let him do it all, because we will think, well, I can kind of get it this way and the Lord will help me. No, he wants us to follow him and to follow the design that Holy Spirit is giving us. And in a lot of areas, it's just such a wonderful story, the building or the presentation of the blueprint to Moses to build the temple, the tabernacle of God amongst the children of Israel. You know, a thing that had never, ever happened before, an edifice that no one had ever seen. It's just like I think Pastor Rogers shared last week with us when she read the first part of this, you know, this thing that you've never seen. She thought of the ark. No one had ever seen an ark because no one had ever seen water. You know, that it had never rained. So these were situations that were coming that were in already established in heaven that Holy Spirit downloaded in one who was willing to be prepared for the sacrifice it was going to take to hold the burden of that vision. A vision comes with a burden, which is why we are given that grace, which is a unmerited favor to bear that burden. You know, you've heard people say, well, they got a grace to do that. I don't have that grace, okay? And the grace to do the impossible comes from Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of the Lord being upon us. That's how the impossible becomes possible. That's why the New Testament says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Strength, that's a part of the flow of the Holy Spirit, that river that has to flow, not a visitation, but a continuous, unceasing flow for every detail that's needed to fulfill the blueprint for your life. And so this is why we're at a place now where the series of actions, this is not just the gift of wisdom that happens from time to time when something needs to be manifest. This is the person of the spirit of wisdom that comes for this flow that never ceases, that's always feeding, always fueling, always, that's that oil that's always flowing fresh so that our light will shine bright for today, not the brightness that we needed for yesterday. And not the brightness we needed for 5 years ago, but bright that's needed today. And it's not the brightness that's going to be needed for tomorrow. Each day brings a new thing that has to be, dealt with. It has to be encountered, and it has to have a response that brings people to see God, see the glory of God. That's why it's new every day. It's new every day. We had one quote or statement we used when we first started Block Talk. I was looking at some of the old introductions and things like that, and it says, suppose today when you woke up, the only thing you had today was what you thanked God for yesterday. What would your day look like? What would your day be missing? What would your day have that it shouldn't have? And so we have to understand every day, this flow is needed because there's not a time that we need to depend on ourselves. It's shared even with the life of Christ. every day, every moment, he was always focused on his destiny, always focused on his purpose. He didn't do extraneous things. Everything he did, and he said he went around doing good work. That was his fruit, doing good work. And people saw that. And he had crowds to start to follow him because of his good work, because of this anointing of wisdom that was upon him that caused him to do things all the time that no one, where did that come from? How did this man from Nazareth, where did he get this from? It revealed the flow of heaven continuously. Everybody that he came in contact with was exposed to it because that was a part of his destiny. And so as he walked, he talked and he taught. As, you know, as he slept even, things were being orchestrated around him so that he can then arise and address the issue that would bring truth into an area that people had never seen before. When he was sleeping, they woke him up, and then he calmed the sea. All of these things was purposeful, and that's the way our life is. Every time we are awake, it needs to be purposeful. And now we have an extra advantage, and Christ said we would. He said, what I do, you'll do more. And the extra advantage we have is the Holy Spirit living in us. And then even in our sleep, we will get dreams. As we are awake, we will get visions because he promised he's going to pour it out upon us, the Spirit being upon us, so that we would have this constant, unceasing, unlimited flow of the Holy Spirit. And so this Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom prepares us for, prepares the garment for our series of actions that we must walk in order to be in the presence of God, and only can be maintained in the presence of God. And so we then look at the wisdom of Joshua. Now, I thought it was interesting because the wisdom of Joshua is the wisdom for a new journey. And so when we look at what happened to them, okay, what happened to these examples that he puts in his book, we also see if it is related in real time to us. And so when I saw this, it's the wisdom of Joshua. And I thought, well, why do we need that? And, you know, Joshua did some really great things. He loved to be in the presence of the Lord. But it's like, why? It was because there was a journey. There was a destiny and there was a purpose on his life that he needed wisdom to fulfill. It couldn't happen with the gift of wisdom. It had to happen with the person of wisdom. And so the author shares the first scripture from Exodus 33:11. He said he spoke to Moses face to face in the tabernacle as a friend. I mean, he spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And he would return from the presence of God to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. He did not depart from the presence of God. Now, it's not saying so much that Moses did. Moses talked to God face to face. But and we've heard that before. And we, you know, Moses, he's the one. But we missed this gem. But Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle because he was in the presence of God, receiving the wisdom and surrendering to himself, to person of the Holy Spirit, to give him the wisdom to lead the people where they needed to go. It says that he was full of the Spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so now this garment, this priestly garment, that garment of leadership, that garment of wisdom was placed on him by Moses, which lets us understand how this impartation of wisdom can be released. He released it into Joshua, first of all, because Joshua prepared himself for the release by not departing from the tabernacle. And so even the word depart, we think of, okay, so he left the building. No, he never separated himself from the tabernacle. So he was always connected to the place that God was, the presence of God. And that's the way the power of the flow of the Spirit of wisdom releases the kind of information and it's not information, but it releases the kind of creative action that we need when we are starting a new journey. Okay, so he could say, you know, I've walked with Moses all this time, and through the wisdom, I've grown up, because he was one of the spies before they started their journey in the wilderness. He was one of the ones that said, yeah, the fruit is big. It's interesting that they use fruit, big fruit, and that's what God wants. He wants much fruit from us, not to be afraid of it, because Joshua said, yeah, it is, but we can defeat them. But they're thinking, no, this came from giants, okay? And we can't, you know, and so that's why they mumbled and complained and walked through the wilderness. But Joshua believed. He didn't depart from the tabernacle, from the presence of God, from the belief of what God can do. He saw it as a young boy, you know, the Lord leading them out of Egypt. He saw the difference that life became for him when God intervened. He saw the power that God has done, and he was at awe with the Lord. The others were basically trying to satisfy their natural flesh. I won't say flesh as a negative thing, but just their natural. They were hungry. Okay, they were scared. They were thirsty. They was, you know, they had a lot of issues. They felt insecure. But Joshua never departed from the tabernacle. I love that. That's because in the presence of God, that's where we find the power of that rest to help you live long. And he definitely lived longer than most of them, because the rest of them didn't come out of the wilderness. Okay, and so then that wisdom that Joshua received was a wisdom that was imparted to him by one that had it. So it lets us know we have a responsibility for the Spirit of wisdom to flow from us to other people to establish the continuous move of the church, of the kingdom of God. It doesn't stop when one leader stops. No, the Spirit of wisdom is a live action, ever, never ending, ceasing, unlimited, ceaseless flow from heaven into the church and its people. And so as a result, with being plugged into the Spirit of wisdom, we will raise up a standard. When we're plugged in, that's what Joshua did, being not departing from the tabernacle, gave him an insight and a power to manifest this, and we'll get to that, but this the vision of God for the children of Israel in the promised land. So Moses had a part of the vision, and he did his part. Now he was imparting, and that gives us to understand this is the thing that we don't covenant to ourselves is mine. No, it belongs to God, and we allow God to lead us into whom to put our hands on to impart that which God has given us. And one of the ways to understand that is to understand or to surrender to the spirit of wisdom. And so he ends that wisdom of Joshua by saying we need to rise up a standard, not by our own ability, but by being plugged into the spirit of wisdom. This is not information or performance, but skillful ability and understanding that releases authority and strong leadership. Strong leadership. And so then we flow to the spirit of the tabernacle of Moses. So I'll stop right there for a minute, and questions, comments, insights, revelation that you received from the beginning of this part two of the spirit of wisdom, you can put your phone on speaker and share. You're all on live Friday fellowship alerts.
Yeah, Overseer, I found it very interesting that Joshua, because I didn't know that, say, before he took over the leadership, how Moses had laid hands on him, and when I was younger, first coming into the holiness church, which I think some people still, I think they still practice that. I don't know, but if they do or not. But, you know, they would lay hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost. Or, you know, even now, you know, in laying hands on you to receive your healing, and you know, just different things, and going back and seeing even how the apostle, I think Apostle Paul, didn't he lay hands on somebody, pray for somebody. I can't remember exactly, you know. I found that very interesting.
Okay.
I believe it was. I'm not,
for
sure.
I believe Timothy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he shared with Timothy was his son in the spirit. And,
I remember, in my teens, there was a young lady at church, and she had said that, you know, she would stay around the church, you know, a lot. And she had said that she made up in her mind at a young age, she was never going to get married. She was going to be, she didn't use the word unit, but, you know, for the Lord. And she never did.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still, serving the Lord first and everything. So I found that, you know, in talking about wisdom, he's really breaking it down, where we can grasp the full picture of wisdom, like you were saying. He's talking about the two different types of wisdom. And he said the wisdom is the creative ability to function in what he is showing you. So, and I was, as I was reading too, I don't know where it is right now, but even in teaching and, you know, doing what the Lord would have you to do, just reading this brought back to me each time I will have to stand before, you know, the residents at the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was God, but it just, you know, because I asked him all the time, because I know I can't do it in and of myself, and I have that where I just get so nervous, you know, having to do it, and I want to make sure what I'm saying is right. And so in reading this, some part in here, I don't know where it is right now, it just assures me the more that, you know, he will do it, you know, he will give you what they, how to say it, and when to say it.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much. Insight, revelation. Anybody else?
Good morning, Overseer.
Well, good morning, Elder. How are you?
I am well, and hope everybody on the line is as well. I just wanted, I don't know whether this is not a revelation. It's just that, in reading this, and especially when I read the passages that talks about the skilled laborers, the artisans, and all of that, it just amazes me. I'm thinking, like, in my little pea brain, okay, did they have trial and error? Did they make patterns? Did God just endow them with the wisdom, and they just made it right the first time? I'm thinking about such a problem.
Yeah,
it has no particular bearing on the scripture, I know that, when it was talking about the garments, and there was a book that Apostle, I think it might have been Hooks who might have recommended it. I don't know who recommended it, but anyway, it's called These Are the Garments. And I bought that several years ago when I started hanging around, and it was just really a blessing just to see how God orchestrated the garments. And I know that, when we're doing things and we have to wear garments, a lot of people really have issues with that. But, for me personally, I find that that's really redundant. You're not supposed to say that for me personally. But anyway, I digress. But when I wear them, I certainly feel a difference. I can really connect with the anointing of the Lord, no matter how many layers, no matter how heavy, and no matter how hot I might feel. And I have gotten to the point that sometimes I don't even feel that in the natural, like, oh, God, I'm so hot. I'm sweating, I think part of that is a mindset. That, just like a soldier, they carry 30, 40 pounds, if not more, of gear. Or just the police, if you know any policemen. When you put that vest on and that belt and that gun and the press, that's another 25 pounds you just carry around every day, just like regular old, not to mention steel toe boots and all of the other things that people wear every day for their job, and so sometimes I think that we should really be ashamed when we complain about the garments. And I know, like I say, everybody do, and it can be.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there is something special. It calls us out.
Yeah.
There's something special. Mm-hmm. And this is a way that we can identify ourselves. And every time that we do something and we do the lineup, and I see you guys at the older kids or the bishops and stuff, and having an understanding of what those things mean, that this is the basic garment, this is a dress garment, or this particular elevation or whatever.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, I was thinking that those people that told Moses to call for those people that he had already endowed them with the gift, but that he enhanced the gift even more so in order for them to build his the tabernacle and do the garment, because I believe when we read it, He told him to call for those people that was, I don't know the exact word that he used, with those skills.
Mm-hmm.
And So,
you know,
I believe that he probably enhanced their gifts even the more.
No,
so.
No, we don't want, no, he didn't enhance them. He gave it to them. He gave them,
now,
he
what
gave
I'm saying
them something.
Was, you know how, what I'm saying is they already had it. I believe they already had that gifting in them because they had to have been using it for a purpose beforehand.
Well, see, well, I think that's what we want to get away from, trying to figure out it must be like that. How about this, okay? Because everything that God does, he takes people that have nothing, and he gives them the ability for that something. I think that that's one of the things that he, a leader, has to know. God has to tell the leader who he has chosen so that the leader can then go and release the person into their service. But it is a laying on of hands for something. It's just like when you lay on the hands, you're not enhancing Holy Spirit. They didn't have it, and then laying on hands gave it to them. Okay, pure and simple. And so I think we need to look at it in a way of absolutes at this point. He didn't take some really skilled people and made them more skilled. No, he took people and gave them the skill to do what he needed them to do. It wasn't that they were good at it or good at something. No, only thing that made them chosen was the fact that God chose them, okay? Now, God chose them from their mother's womb. This is very true because, remember, God has the blueprint for each one of those children of Israel. He had a blueprint, and they were created to do what he needed them to do, okay? Because he was going to give them everything they needed to do it. He wasn't going to enhance what, and then where did they get it from? He wasn't going to enhance what they had. He was building them up based on the blueprint for their life. And so I think it's part of the great glory of a leader to be able to be in touch with heaven so that they know who to go to for what. So one of the things I felt like this was a perfect example of, especially the priestly garment section of it, was the fact that in this season, our apostle has these strategy meetings with individuals. And so she is putting them in a place where what God's destiny and purpose is for them is revealed to her. And then she points them in that direction so that they can work in the place that God would have them to be. And that's not, you know, it's not a leader like, sometimes the people don't understand. They say, you know what, anywhere you want to use me, I'll work. And that is such a dangerous statement for a leader to hear, because you may want to put them where you have a need. But that may not be what is a part of their destiny. And so you can always get to a place where their whole spiritual life is just a little off kilter because they weren't placed where their destiny would have them be placed, but rather the will of a man or a woman, because there was a need. Now, can we meet needs when they exist? Absolutely. But the important, the precept is that you must, what does it say, have these a series of actions that are based on the spirit of wisdom. He said, lean not to your own understanding. We can't. We do. We do all the time. I'm very guilty. And yet, it's by the same token, just like the word says, you will hear a voice say, no, don't go left, don't go right. You know, don't make that decision. That it's not that it's a bad decision. It is not a God-honoring decision. And we're at a place now where it must be God-honoring. That's giving God all the glory. It doesn't give Christ all the glory if I was a good person and now I'm saved. So you're saying you added to what Christ did, and that's why you're where you are. Yes.
Well, maybe, I mean, that may not have been the right word, but I believe the word said he sold his soul for the artisans. And so that let me know that they were already skilled in that area.
Okay, I can get your point of view. I just want you to think of one thing.
You know, maybe I used the wrong word.
No,
but they had But
Go
they
ahead.
Had never, they had never did, I guess, what they were doing on that level. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know how to express it.
Okay. I understand. I understand what you're saying. I just want you to consider. Suppose they had never had any. I was tending my sheep. I didn't know nothing about leading an army. Nothing. I was a loner with some animals, and you called me out. I didn't know anything. I'm a little boy. I don't know anything about fighting a giant. But I am now empowered to do that. So I'm a fisherman. I'm unlearned. I didn't go to school. I rode with my daddy, and we went to the out on the lake, and that's what we do. Now you're an oracle of God. There was nothing in you that he enhanced. Everything you needed, Christ had to give us. And so, as I said, there is, you know, the blueprint that is upon our life, okay? And a person that is led by the Holy Spirit will know, because they will be told by heaven, this person has this blueprint in heaven. So take them and put them here so that their destiny might be, and their purpose might be fulfilled. And so we have such a detailed of our, you know, it says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, because there's just so much that I want to say the world will try to explain because it exists, so they figure they got an explanation for it. And God is in heaven, you know, looking at us saying, no, that ain't it. But, you know, you'll know. You just keep going. You'll know. We grow and we learn some things. And the best thing for our is to release everything we may think and allow the Holy Spirit to give us what we need. And then to trust that he will. So that when we go forth, we're going forth in his power. And that's what Joshua learned by being not departing from the tabernacle. I want to say the right thing. Okay, and the artisans, you know, their power, their anointing, that's just like you going somewhere and all of a sudden, look at them painting. How did he get, how is he, you know, people that have the anointing to spiritually paint, doing a worship service, they didn't paint before. But the Holy Spirit gives them that, and then they do it. It's like, and that's what makes it amazing. That's what makes it so amazing. And that's what makes it so God, because it wouldn't have happened had not that spirit of wisdom come upon them. And so this is what we are releasing our life to in our prayer and our declaration, for God to do a new thing. Something that we've never seen and known before, he is going to reveal to us and empower us, you know, to build an ark, okay, to build a tabernacle, to make a priestly garment, to change a world, to influence a world for God through the wisdom of Holy Spirit being released in our life. And so when he shows us the wisdom of these individuals, the wisdom of Joshua and the wisdom of Moses, the wisdom of Joshua was for a new journey. The wisdom for the tabernacle of Moses was the wisdom to establish a place for God on earth. That's what the church does, a place to establish a house of worship, and all of the details that and the precepts that need to the church needs to be built on. And then the ability to teach, that is to prepare others so that they can pass it along, and the kingdom continues to flow and to move. Then the wisdom, spirit of wisdom, to remove limitations. That's the spirit of wisdom to bring supernatural environment into the mindsets of the people who have surrendered to him. And the spirit of Solomon's temple, that's the spirit of wisdom for the vision. We have to have the spirit of wisdom for the vision that God is showing. We have to acknowledge that it's God's plan. We have to acknowledge that it's God's purpose. We have to acknowledge that it's for God's praise. We have to understand that all things are done so that he gets the glory. That's why we were saved. That's why we were created. And so as we continue to journey through the wisdom, spirit of wisdom in part two, look at it with a real-time today parallel it to what is going on today. Then we'll see what God is saying. That's how we see what he is saying and hear what he has written. I love it because it really is saying that because he wrote it. Where does it say here? The way it said it, well, we'll come on it next week. I don't want to rush to bring it, but he clearly says that it's his plan, and his plan comes forth through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what happens in the sanctuary, and related to what's happening now within, here it is. It says, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. This is what David was sharing with his son. He said, the Lord made me understand in writing. Remember, write the vision and make it plain by his hand. So God is writing. He's writing the vision through us. He gives it to us. We write it out. But it is his hand that is upon us. Remember, the spirit of the Lord being upon us, and all the works of the plans of the blueprint will come forth, all of the works of the blueprint. And so we want to, you know, just get to a place where this is so invigorating. It brings us a zeal and a passion that become aflamed with possibilities, just aflamed with possibilities. So anybody else, we're going to just stop there at the wisdom of Joseph. We'll start with the wisdom for the wisdom of Joshua. We'll start next week at the wisdom for the tabernacle of Moses. But anybody else, thoughts, insight, inspiration, revelations?
Overseer, the lesson is just always so phenomenal. Good morning, everyone. And as I was, just listening to those who were speaking before me and just kind of, God breaking our intellectual mind or our intellectual or denominational concept. And that's the thing that was so awe-inspiring to me when I became a part of the AEN, when I came to CCTI. Yes. You know, first came to CCTI, and people were saying, hello, pastor, who had never met me before. And I was looking like, who? I am not a pastor. But
hallelujah.
But yes. The whole concept of stirring up the gift, that was something that was dormant in me that God needed to call into existence, not just wanting to stay there, but going over what we're learning in this whole revelation of wisdom. And it says, you know, that God, the wisdom is the ability, the supernatural ability to do what you can't do. It's the supernatural ability to see something in the earth realm that has only been released in the heavenly realm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. And so opening our minds, you know, we've always quoted that spirit, speak those things that be not as though they were. You know, we said that spirit, we said that scripture over and over again. What does that look like to speak those things that be not? Then even going back, you know, to the revelation of what God gave me about how he breathed into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. Just so many things coming together, you know, that clay that was in the Garden of Eden, it was just a model of a man, but it did not become a living soul until God breathed into his nostril, and then to see that heartbeat, the lung, and all of the things that God was doing. When he gives you those types of revelations for you to be able to equate, and even now with what we're going through with the apostle and these meetings that we're having with her, you know, I can remember her always saying, I don't want it to be something that you're just repeating. I don't want it to be a program. I was raised in the Baptist church that you had to have devotion. Devotion had to look like this. And, you know, you got to have a song before the scripture. And you got to have, you know, and I never even went to God and said, God, how would you want your spirit to flow?
Right.
How do you want your spirit to flow? How do you want to show up in the midst of this thing? Since you gave it to me, how do you want to show up? I give you the right of way. And then to be still enough to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. This is changing our whole concept of allowing the Holy Spirit to have its perfect way. Because we've got to get our intellectualism out of way. We got to pulverize it to the extent that we let the wisdom of God come in and take over. After I had my first meeting with the apostle and reading this book, I began to sit with the Lord and say, okay, God, what would you have? How would you have me to be used in the church at LFC? How would you have me to be used in the ministry? How do you want to use me, you know, with my gift, my calling, and my anointing? And so it's so much rich food to eat, but it's like the food that you eat, you've never tasted it before, and then when you do taste it, your taste buds explode literally with excitement and the awe of this new thing, and that's how I'm looking at it. I've been in church, oh my God, started 5 years old. I got baptized when I was 5 years old. And so now to have this revelation and this insight of what God can do, I always have said, I know it's somebody else on the line who said the same thing, there has to be more. There has to be more. Jesus. And now to come into the knowledge of God, there is more. There is more. But you gotta dig out and erase and begin to take the trash thoughts out that somebody put in your mindset, you know, and allow me to come in and build a new, allow me to come in and give you a whole new framework, a whole new framework about what it is that I'm doing. You know, always the person I shared on last Saturday about how I wake up and God would give me these visions and show me things and who I would talk to, what I needed to do, and him just, that's the wisdom, the spirit of waking up a whole new day, waking up with the spirit of wisdom, giving a fresh, giving a new to my day, even in praying and looking at the word of God. I'm a hush soon, I promise. When we say order ourselves, that the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, that every day I wake up, wisdom has already put a blueprint and a plan for just that day. He said, don't even think about tomorrow.
What I did to you yesterday, that was yesterday. But today, today is that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad with it. And that there is a path that's been prepared for me in this day that has never been done before. And all I have to do is yield to the guidance of the Holy Spirit for him to begin to show me, to refresh me.
It's so much.
And so remember, you know, even on the onset of our being in this class, we talked about that glass ceiling. We talked about how we've been boxed into a way of thinking, and that this book, the sevenfold Spirit of God, has come to crush that whole box.
Yeah.
It's kept the burst out of that box. And if we would just yield to what God is, what God is trying to show us and the new and the fresh revelation. And then it's not even about a competition. Moses was not intimidated with God saying, go and get somebody to make a garment. Moses just saying, God, you can use me. There's something new. Use me to make the garment. No. He didn't say that. He was leader enough and confident enough, as our apostle is, to allow us to do with the Holy Spirit. Nanika, you have people, I've been in churches where they sat me down because they saw this freshness on me and the people, and they would sit down. No. You're getting too much. You do it. But you have to know who you are in God. It's so much. My God, it's so much.
Hallelujah.
You have to be so confident in your ability and in your commune and your sitting before the Lord that nobody intimidates you, that you're not greedy and trying to hold it all to yourself, that you're honorable enough with what God is doing to you to say, God, you can use anybody. And I'm subject, I'm open to who you are using in this season. And so let's not put God in our little box anymore. Let's get rid of the box and allow God to be that free flow. Let him to be that continuum free flow that he wants to be in our life. And it looks like the spirit of wisdom. So thank you. I appreciate you, Overseer.
Amen. I know as you were speaking, what the Lord kind of spoke to me was that he wants us to see something here. And every detail in his word has a divine purpose. And one of the things that the children of Israel learned from Moses' leadership was that Moses had a creative ability. He could speak a thing and bring it to pass. He could also call out something and establish it. And so we need to know that as a leader that is plugged into heaven through the spirit of wisdom, that he could tell you, go tell that rock that it is now going to be water, and it becomes water. It was never water before. It'll never be water again. But because Moses said it, he created in the earth realm. You know, they say, you know, we say loose on earth and bind in heaven. He loosed that rock from being hard and made it liquid because he said it. And so we have to see how all these things were revealed to the children of Israel. That's why they said, what's his name? Joshua, because they saw the spirit that was in Moses on him, speaking a thing and bringing it to pass. You know, you give me the ability to become an accountant. You got to be kidding me. Now, anybody that know me know that it was not my ability. It was God and God alone, because that's what was in my blueprint. I had read the blueprint, but Holy Spirit did. And so these are things he will create in us, if you will, artists, artistmen, artists, artists. I can play the piano. How many people have their proteges? They never did it before, and they all of a sudden they do it. It's been gifted to them. It's been released to them. And Moses was able to release in the earth realm what God wanted. God wanted this to look like that, so Moses could release people that have the power and the ability and the authority to do it. Creative ability, divine creative ability. God said it, and it became. He spoke, and then the sun came up and the moon. We can speak it.
Yes.
As the apostle, as the word is saying, we can speak it, and it shall come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because we speak with the oracles of God. We're in his presence. We receive that wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And therefore, .. there's no impossibilities, okay? Everything. He said, I am the possible. Okay? I love that. Praise the Lord. I get so excited, but I really do. But I decide that's my passion. I was taught by the prophet, as my name begins with a P, and how do you describe it? It's passionate. I am passionate for the things of God. They set me on fire. They really do. They really do. So, and I love it. I love it. And
you know,
I didn't
get a chance to say the name, but I know when he said that, and my computer, you know, it was having technical difficulty. But the Lord said, kindle fire. You are a kindling fire.
Yes.
And so Katie is a kindling fire. I'm here to ignite, to set a flame, to do some things in the spirit realm. So even when you begin to say that and God began to show, even as you were saying how you grasping a hold of that passion, that's what I am. I'm here to release the passion in the people of God.
Yes.
So to know who we are, to know our function, that's the thing from the beginning of coming into a contact with the Dr. Apostle Shanae. She wants us to know what we bring to ministry, what we bring to the kingdom to do that. I'm sure those people who were in the Bible who we was making those garments, they hadn't even realized until the Moses began to speak.
Yes,
to push them to a place, oh, I can do this. I see it. They just saw it when he released it. Not that they had it, they saw it, they went the whole with it, and that's what we have to do. We can no longer be apprehensive to what God has given us to be in the kingdom. He's given us to be it in the kingdom. Amen. So let's just be it. Let's be it in the kingdom.
Amen.
I love it.
I do. I love it. I love God. I thank God for all of you. And I thank you when you share, you are breaking ground. You're groundbreakers. You really are. And so sometimes we hold back. We don't want to share. Get it out. Get it out there because God wants it out there because God is going to do something with it. He's going to use it to allow us to understand how great he really is. We have to get it out there. We have to say, we don't have to, you know, haul back. I see there's like 14 people on the line. I don't know, but three because someone has been talking. But, you know, get it out. Get it out there. Release it because it's going to be something that God will run with for us. And we need it. That's why it's a fellowship. It's a fellowship. We are all learning. We are all growing. I have learned so much from you guys. It is amazing. It is just amazing how important we are to each other and how important what we share is to one another. So I do. I really, really thank you guys. Anybody else want to share? I know we over our time, but we always are. So I don't care.
This Pastor Rogers, well, then I just want to share, but I was trying to learn self-control and not talk so much. But God always gave me the scripture, man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own ways? And it was hard to hear you guys, but I know when you were talking about how the Lord led Moses and how the Spirit was leading Joshua, because Joshua was right there with Moses and he was receiving it. And that's what we're doing today. We're receiving what the Holy Spirit is giving to one another. And that way we will be more, with Apostle KP say, with that fire, we'll be on fire for God. And I just thank God for what he's doing in my life, because it's much different. You know, he's not doing the same as his and yours, of Apostle KP or even Apostle Charnette, but he's doing it. And once we know he's doing it, we can accept it and receive it more. And this is the where he's showing me. He said, I've been with you. And and where he, I believe, I'm not one on remembering who said what, but I know it was said when he said, come up here, I want to take you out in the deep. And I know we were studying with it in our group, and I kept hearing it. And I kept saying, I used to say, I want to go out in the deep. God knows me. I never wanted to be the leader, but I would do all I could for the leader. So, you know, and now he's saying, I want you to, want you. And then when God calls you, he's the only one knows when you're ready. So I was like, Lord, you know, being here again at labor, God has cut some things that I was afraid of failing God. I've never been afraid of failing mankind because it didn't matter to me. But when we in a position that we won't step out in the deep because we feel that we're doing a God, I don't want to say favors, but if we fear that we won't satisfy or we wouldn't be in a position where God wants us to be, then we won't, our physical body will hesitate to do it. And now knowing that it ain't you, I've kind of always knew it wasn't me, but yet and still, it's a hidden part of you. I believe you told me one day you were trying to be God, and that stuck in my head. Because sometimes we don't even know we're trying to be God. And when we're trying to do it another way, we're trying to be God. So I just thank God for coming together, listening, hearing one another, and then most of all, examining ourselves to find out if we're lacking because we're not obeying.
Amen.
And when we obey the Holy Spirit, there is no failure in him.
No, there is no failure. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If there is another.
This is Mr. Brenda. This has been very helpful. It has been so helpful because of the, it's just been blowing my mind because the things that the Lord has been putting on me, I would have never thought that I would be a writer. I said, I can't write. I mean, and to go back and read, go back and read what he has told me to write. Okay. Well, I'm the only one in the room, but to see what God can do, Jesus, it's amazing. And this was prophesied to me over a year ago, even before. And the Lord said he was going to give me literary knowledge. And people think But to see God materialize this, my God, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yes, and there's nothing but a God.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the testimonies of the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there another? All right. Well, I do pray that you all stay warm, stay safe. We'll worship on Zoom. So I tell everybody, especially if you've ever invited visitors to Labor and they've come and they worship with us,
be sure you let them know that we'll be worshiping on Zoom and share with them the Zoom number. It came out under your text message, and it's also on your emails. And so just share it with individuals. We had such a glorious time last week. And so you don't miss out on anything God has for you when we do it on Zoom. That's what I want to say. And so it is a joy. And, you know, I find we stay in church even longer when we're on Zoom. Probably because you're comfortable, but you just do. And so it is a wonderful experience. I've been won over, if you will, because you had told me I was going to be doing this 6 months ago. I'd have told you I don't think so, okay? And now I got that little button. I know how to flip it and go, and bam, there I am. And so we do. We thank God for technology that has enhanced and creative action and activity that enhances our worship. And so it's going to look different from 10 years ago. Who would have thought 10 years ago? No such thing. And so let alone 20 years ago or when we first believed, as we say in the scripture, when I first believed. And so we do. We just praise God for him releasing a knowledge in the earth realm that he wants his kingdom to use so that the kingdom will increase. That's part of our declaration, like never before, building the kingdom, reaching out to every area, every section of the world are now getting connected to resources that deliver the truth of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for it. We encourage you to sign up and register for CCTI. It is totally reformatted into a very, very ongoing revelation of truth. And it is very powerful. Our teachers and facilitators are amazing. They are anointed, and they are anointed with creativity. And so you just never know what they're going to do next. And that keeps it lively. And it keeps our journey an exciting one, okay? It's not ho-hum. It's not, oh, my goodness, same old thing. It's not routine. It really isn't. And so we do encourage you to sign up and register for CCTI. That information is also in your monthly acknowledgments in our administrative apostolic elder. Sharita is very diligent in making sure we have it. If we don't have it or you don't get that information, just dial 773-779-2900. It connects you to the very head, and she will make sure that it is done. That's one thing. We have an apostle that you can reach out and touch. You don't get a secretary. You don't get an administrative assistant. That number gives you her, wherever she is. And generally, if she's not in ministry, she will be able to address you immediately, but definitely leave her a message, and she will follow up and get back with you. So we thank God for her. We pray for her. We pray a covering of rest and protection and peace for her. As the world is in chaos, then the people that are sent to bring order have greater needs for covering. And so we want to pray for those that cover those in ministry, not just our apostle, but all leaders all over the world. Okay, we have like 9 new candidates coming from India. And so there are people that are being established because the harvest is great. And the workers have to be sent out prepared with a priestly garment of understanding and wisdom and strength and knowledge and the Spirit of God. And so we thank you all. We pray that you will make yourself available for the ordination process. We need accountability partners. We just use this to recruit. And you can give me a call at
303-701-4303. Is that right? Yeah, somebody didn't know my number. I hope that's right.
Yes, that's right.
Don't give me call apostle, and she'll give it back to me. So 773-779-2900 or call overseer. Anything you want to do with the ordination is needed. It is requested. And if God has set something on your heart for that area, because most of you have touched that area in some way, then please, please, please do not hesitate to contact me. Send me an email, send me, you know, a text message if you don't want to call me, because sometimes I can't find my phone. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? So just leave me a message. So I just thank God for you. It is just it is a honor. It is a humble, humble pleasure, and it's a joy doing ministry with you. Love you, and stay warm. Know, obey, embrace, and enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit. Be blessed.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.